Open your Bibles here this morning to Proverbs chapter 18, and the title of my message here this morning, People of Courage and Wisdom, People of Courage and Wisdom. Proverbs 18:10 says, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the eternal word of God that changes not forever. O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Father, we hold in our hands the eternal word of God that speaks to us as your people. And Father, I pray that your word would sink deep into our hearts, our minds here this morning, that would bear fruit upward and root downward in each of our lives. So Lord, bless us as we gather around it. May we be people of truth and righteousness. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Help me be a vessel, honors Jesus Christ, and honors your holy name. And I pray, Lord, you receive the glory and the praise and thanks for everything that's said and done here. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. The year was 1912, and mankind had created, at that time, they thought the world's largest movable vessel, and that was the Titanic. Some thought it was unsinkable because in its design, they had designed compartments, and each compartment was sealed one from another. So if it ever got a hole in one part, they could seal that off and the vessel would be safe. They thought the Titanic was a marvel of man's achievement. But as we all know, on that fateful night, April 14th, 1912, the Titanic went down in just a little over 2 hours and 40 minutes. It sank. What was interesting afterwards, there was a hearing made about that, and some inquiries were made to different people and to the events surrounding what happened. And one sailor, his name was Frederick Fleet, and he was on the lookout that night. His job was to spot any icebergs because they were warned there was icebergs in the area. And his job was to look out and spot any danger coming and to warn the captain to make necessary changes in their direction to avoid any casualties. Well, he had one part of his shift and he was relieved and came back, but one sailor, Frederick Fleet, was on the lookout the night of the disaster, was called as a witness during the hearings afterwards to find out what happened. He shocked the select subcommittee when he explained how the binoculars with which he was equipped on his first part of his time being an observer and a watch out had disappeared. He did not have them during his second faithful part of the voyage, phase of the voyage. And this is how the questions went. Senator Smith, suppose you had your binoculars, could you have seen this black object, the iceberg, at a greater distance? Mr. Fleet, we could have seen it a bit sooner. How much sooner? Asked Senator Smith. Mr. Fleet, well, enough to get out of the way. For want of binoculars, the Titanic may have went down. He didn't have time to find them, and he went on the lookout without the binoculars. Now, that night, many people perished, over 5,000. Some people perished that night for the want of binoculars. You know, we live in a time where I think some people trust in our ingenuity, the strength of America, who we are as a people, and they don't realize sometimes the slightest little bump or change can change things so quickly for the want of binoculars. Now, for us as God's people, are we living in unsettled times? Would that be maybe an understatement, perchance? Unsettled times? I think we are. But what do we do when we live in these unsettled times? How do we process things? Because what we don't want to be is so careless or so secure or so not watching the signs of the times, that we don't perceive what may be really important to us as God's people. Now, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. That's a promise. That's a statement. That is something we as God's people have. The Lord's name is a strong tower. Now, we don't want to be foolish, because in the first part of chapter 18 here, verse 1, though desire a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Well, let me just rephrase that and just say it a little different way. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment. So what does verse 1 mean? In other words, if it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new. If you separate yourself from the counsel of others and the wisdom of God's word, and you come up with something nobody's ever heard before about God, it's probably not true. Because if it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new. God's word is eternal, and it speaks to us with his word and his truth. And what we want to do as God's people is to seek the counsel of God and the wisdom of God. Now, on the Titanic that night, there were some wise people and there were some foolish people. I read a story one time. There was a woman who actually was in one of the lifeboats just getting ready to get in, and she looked around the situation. She said to herself, this boat isn't going down. I'm not leaving all my stuff in my room. And they begged her to get on the safety vessel on the lifeboat. And she refused, saying, this boat is not going down. And 2 hours and 40 minutes later, it went down. Now, would you call that person a wise person or a foolish person? Foolish, because they couldn't discern the signs of the time. They didn't know what was happening. Look at verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may express or discover itself. A fool has no delight in understanding. You know, some people can be so fixed in their opinions or so fixed in what they want to happen that they won't listen to good reason. They won't listen to sound reason. They won't listen to what people have to say. Now, if God says, you're a sinner, and you say to God, I'm not a sinner, then what did you just call God? A liar. Do you ever think about that? People who have say they have no sin deceive themselves. God says, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. So a foolish person has no desire to understand, no delight in understanding, but that his heart may express itself or discover itself. See, in God's economy, what we want to do is put ourselves in a position, if God's speaking to us and the circumstances of life are pushing us in a certain direction, that we need to sit there and say, where is this going? Where is this going to end? How am I preparing for it? What am I doing with my life? Because we don't want to be foolish like that woman who had a safety vessel prepared for her and yet would not take advantage of that. Now, look at verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Are there wise people in the world? There are. There's people that are wise. You go to them for counsel because you say, this is my problem. And you explain it to them. And they just so quickly say, it's because of this, and this is what you need to do. And they give you a 1, 2, 3. And sometimes I've listened to Christian counselors, and somebody will come up with a problem, and I'm listening to him, and the counselor will listen, and he'll hit that thing just right on the head, the nail. He'll hammer that thing. He'll pinpoint that problem right away. And I sit back and say, whoa, that was really good. And then all of a sudden the person says, I never saw that before, and I never understood that before. See, that's a wise person. Now, when it says the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, if you're in need of counsel and you know a wise person, sometimes you got to draw it out of them. They have an answer. It's like deep water. How do you get deep water? Well, you have to reach down for it. And some people have the wisdom, but you know what the foolish says? I don't need to know. I don't care. And they go along their own foolish way and ultimately perish. But a wise person will say, this man over here is wise. Because I've had situations in my life, and I went and talked to somebody, and I explained, I don't know what to do here. And they'll say, well, this is what I did years ago, and it helped me. And all of a sudden, bing, that's a great idea. That'll work. I can do it. And you see, sometimes as younger people, now, true or false, when you're a young teenager, did you think you had all the answers? Some yes, some no, some maybe. See, when you're a young person, but the older you get, the more you realize how little you knew and how little you understand. And God's eternal. And sometimes we need to open ourselves up to people who have deep waters for us. Now, a wellspring, it says here in verse 4 of wisdom, a wellspring is like where it starts at, as a flowing brook. You know, if you get into somebody that's wise, they can help your life. They can help you get where you need to be. Because sometimes we don't even understand why we feel the way we do or why people react the way they do. I just remember one time, listening to this man, and he had relationship problems all over the place, you know, on this counseling show. And I remember the counselor saying to him, you know, sir, there's something interesting about all these situations you described to me. And the man says, well, what is it? He goes, you are the common denominator in every problem. And sometimes that is so true. And sometimes we don't see the issues that can be there. But what you need to do, you find a man's mouth that has deep waters of wisdom, a wellspring of wisdom as a flowing. You get where somebody has the wisdom and the understanding. Now, on the Titanic that night, there was a gentleman named John Harper. He was a minister of the gospel. He was traveling from England to Moody Memorial Church to preach. That's where he was going, to preach at Moody Memorial Church. He's a powerful man of God. When he got the news that the ship was going down, there was no hope. It was going to sink. Now, the bad thing about the Titanic, they did not have enough lifeboats. They did not have enough life preservers because nobody expected it, what? To go down. That wasn't on the radar screen. But they did have some. And in the process, John Harper ended up with a life preserver. But there was other people around him that had no life preserver. You know what he did with his life preserver? He gave it to somebody else that didn't have it. Was that wise or foolish? Because, let me ask you a question here. Did he have an internal lifeboat, so to speak? Do you know what I'm saying? Did he have something on the inside that was his lifeboat? So we as God's people, to be wise is to see a situation and we understand, verse 10, the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. He had that internal strength within him to say, I can give my life preserver away because I know where I'm spending eternity at. He had that assurance that if he was to go down that night, that it was more valuable. Greater love has no man than this, than what? Lay down his life for what? Another. What is the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor, what? As yourself. Did he do that? Sure, he sure did. He gave his life preserver away. John Harper gave his life preserver away. And in those fleeting hours there, the pastor from Glasgow, John Harper, spent his last hours urging others to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. You know, as God's people, I saw a political cartoon where it showed this whirlpool going around. And on the outer edge, this vortex, and there was a sailing ship. And the sailing ship was America. And on the outer of the vortex of this going down like this with a big hole in the center in this political cartoon, it had capitalism swirling around. And then on more in the inner circle was socialism. And then on the very inner was communism. And then it was like going down the drain. And that was his political cartoons statement about how he felt about America. But I thought about that. You know, it's not capitalism, not socialism, it's not communism. That's not the issue. The issue is righteousness and wickedness. See, our nation is perishing because of wickedness in our land and sin and rebellion against God. And what confusion and division we see in America is because people are turning away from God. Any nation in Proverbs says that all nations that turn against God shall be turned into hell. That's what Proverbs says. And when we reject the counsel of God and his wisdom, what are we left with? Division, strife, evilness, every evil work, it's everywhere. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What do you do? The scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Do you feel that way? What can we do? Well, we run to God, because ultimately he is our safety net. He is our tower. He is our safety boat. He is the one that upholds us in these times. What does verse 12 say? Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Pride goes before what? Just a fall. And in the epistles it said, take heed how ye stand, lest ye what? Lest ye fall. How does God feel about pride? Hates it? Why is it such an offense to God? Why is pride such an offense to God? Because you know what it does? It lifts man up and pulls God down. That's what pride is. Pride is thinking too little of God and too much of us. That's what pride is. Now, for us as God's people, if we humble ourselves before God, say, you're God, I'm not. If we humble ourselves, we trust him. He's our God. We lean on him. We turn to him. We humble ourselves before him. God, I am weak, but you are strong. We need you, God. What I don't want to see in America, in our lives as believers, is a spirit that says, we're so powerful, we're so strong, our military is unconquerable, and have a spirit of pride. Because guess how fast pride can bring you down? Just that fast. See, we don't want to go there. And there's people on the Titanic that went down because they thought it'd never go down. They weren't prepared. They had no warning. And all of a sudden, their life changed. Now, what's interesting about what happened on the Titanic, when self-preservation's on the table, it really shows who you are on the inside. Okay? Now, there was men on the Titanic that the women and children were told to get on the lifeboats first. Women and children only. I can't recall the man's name, but there was one guy, he dressed up as a woman trying to get on to the Titanic. Okay? Would he get the Mr. Coward of the Year award? Would you say that? Would that be fair to say he should get Mr. Coward of the Year award? Trying to dress up as a woman and sneak onto the lifeboat. Now, men, let me ask you a question. Why should women and children go first? Why should they? In our culture today, does that seem like what our culture would say? Why should women and children go first? Because they're the weak, and men are supposed to be what? The protectors. It's still there. Men are supposed to be the protectors. If somebody has to go down, it's not the women and it's not the children. We take the bullet, so to speak. That's what a man does. And you know, on the Titanic, it was amazing how people changed. There was a story I read, this one woman, she, as they were just getting ready to get on the boat, she said, "Can I go back to my cabin just for a moment?" And so they said, "Lady, you better hurry." She went back. She was a very wealthy woman. She had jewelry and diamonds and all kinds of stuff. You know what she grabbed? 3 oranges. That's what she took with her. 3 oranges. All the jewelry, all the stuff she brought. Were they worth anything at that moment? They weren't worth anything. You know what she thought about? 3 oranges. Gotta get more oranges. See, who and priorities really surface when self-preservation's put on the table. And for this year coming up, last year was unbelievable. Who knows what this year is going to come up? But I want to tell you this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And if you, like John Harper, got that lifeboat on the inside, don't forget that. Because it's there for you. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. You know, don't be so proud that peace and safety is all around us. Be prepared, because things can change just that quick. And what happens when they change so quick? Who do you run to when they change so quick? You know, God would have us to be prepared. Do you ever think about God's name? You ever think about that? You ever think about the name of God? And you ever think about Hebrews 13:5? The end of the verse says, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If you're on the Titanic and it's going down, is that verse true? If you're a believer and it's going down, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Is that true? That is true. And we can cling to that as God's people. Now, I can't express it in the way that it's expressed in the Greek, but there's like 5 negatives there. No, I will never, no, never, no, never, never, never leave you. It'll never happen. So in this coming year, when we don't know what's going to happen to us as believers, because our country is so polarized, but I do know this, that righteousness and wickedness are going to collide. And guess what wicked people want to do when they come up against righteousness? Men love darkness rather than light. And this is going to collide, and it may not go real well for believers. But be assured, God said, "I will what? Never leave you nor forsake you." The name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower, and we can run to it and be safe. And we've got to have that settled before we hit an iceberg, so to speak. We've got to have that settled, because when things come unglued, and they could, hopefully not, but if they do, be prepared. Because for John Harper, he had that settled. He could give his life jacket away and, "No, not a problem here." But if you're like that guy that dresses up as a woman trying to get onto the lifeboat, you got a problem. Because you know what that tells me? That guy wasn't ready to meet God. He didn't have understand the role of a man to protect a woman and children. That guy had a problem. And we don't want to be like that. The fool has no delight in understanding. You try to explain these things, they won't hear you. They don't care. Only that his heart may express himself. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You know, we as God's people, time goes so quickly, so fast. Can you imagine the year 2020 is over already? We've got 2021 ahead of us. How is that year going to be for you? How are you going to finish your life out? Well, for John Harper, he stood on the bow on the ship Titanic, went down, hit the icy waters, and grabbed on a piece of material from the ship that was floated in the water. We know this is true, and I'll tell you why at the end. Somebody drifted by him on another piece of wood, and John Harper cried out to him, "Sir, are you saved?" In the darkness as the waves were going. And the fellow in the darkness of the night said, "No, I'm not." And John Harper, as he's floating, grasping on a piece of wood, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And the waves came along, and they drifted apart. Then 5 minutes later, 10 minutes, the waves brought him back again. And John Harper cried out to the man and said, "Sir, are you saved yet?" He said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And they drifted apart again. At that time, John Harper, because you only live 4 minutes in the North Atlantic. That's all you can live before you freeze. The waters are that cold. 4 minutes, you're done. But he lived long enough to give that man warning twice. He went down. He perished. He's in glory. That man, the SS Catalina, saw the distress signals of the Titanic. That boat came along picking up people out of the water. And picked up that man. As he got on the boat, on the SS Catalina, that man said to everybody, "I am John Harper's last convert." Now I say that the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. Do we have some strong men here that run to a strong tower? And your last breath, you're concerned about the souls of others. You know, it'd be so easy for us to be frantic in the waters, thinking about ourselves only. You know, this year, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. Can you bring some other people out of the depths of despair and lost on the sea of life, just drifting aimlessly? Can you cry out to them and say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved"? Can you do that? Can you do that? Let us pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous running into it and are safe. And Father, life is so quick, God, and so fleeting. But our character is revealed by what we do in our last moments. And Father, I pray that as believers that we would live this year for you and not for ourselves, that we'd live for others in the gospel, the good news of redemption. Father, may we have that lifeboat of Christ in our hearts, the unsinkable lifeboat of eternal life that you give to us, that know you and love you and follow you. Father, help us to fight the good fight of faith, even in the midst of darkness. Help us put our hand to the plow and not look back. Help us to long for those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." God, help us not be weary in well-doing, because we know in due season we shall reap as we faint not. And Father, we can see around us how mankind is going downhill so quickly. But God, may we be a light that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Lord, may we be that light that's not hid under a basket, but gives light to all that see. And God, may we bring men and women, boys and girls to a saving knowledge of you. And God, may we live a righteous life that we have that confidence within us, that in those moments when we are pressed beyond measure, that we have that anchor of the soul, that we have that strong tower, that we have that rock that we stand on, Jesus Christ. God, may it be so for each of us, Lord. Give us that strength that we need. And give us that resolve, that Lord, that we won't be weak when we need to be strong. So, Lord, help us this coming year. And thank you, Lord, that you are the strong tower, that you're our rock, that you're our fortress, you're our mighty God. And thank you, Lord, that you know the end from the beginning, and you are the Alpha and the Omega. And we do trust you, God. And we love you and thank you for all that you've done for us as your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.